Hey everyone, this is Raina. It is September 2nd, 2019, and this is an extra loaf. This is a new type of an episode I'm going to be adding to my feed. It's going to be a very raw recording. I use Anchor to host my podcasts, and they have a handy dandy audio recording show building feature with the show, and that's what I'm going to use to put out these extra loafs, where I'm going to maybe talk about, you know, something that I've been learning in the Bible, something I'm studying, something, maybe some juicy gaming news, something quick when I don't have time to sit down, bust out my microphone and my recording, all that stuff, and get my millions of pages of show notes and do all my deep diving into the news sites and dig up all the good nuggets for you guys. This is going to be the in-betweens. That is why I've called it the extra loaf. Hey there. I'm going to get nice and cozy on my couch in the living room. I've got my dogs wandering around, so you might hear them. My fish tank's going in the background. My kids are sleeping. Labor Day is wrapping up. And tomorrow is my son's 6th birthday. And that's why these extra loaves are actually going to help me keep putting out content and sharing what I'm learning. And that might be stuff that I've learned through my Bible studies, something that I want to share, some gaming news, whatever, some chit-chat. If you don't like the extra loaves, skip right on over them, but I'm going to keep taking them out of the oven and sharing them with you guys. So I have been studying the book of Job this week in little increments, a little bit every day. So it's been neat, and I really enjoy doing that because as I read throughout, you know, start my day reading, I think about it throughout the day. So I used to just do my Bible studies more in the evening, I thought, like when the kids went to bed, but I've actually found that I meditate on the word, and I get more out of it when I do it in the beginning of the day. So there's that. If you're like me and you used to wait till the end of the day, or you try to cram it in, I really like getting my cup of tea, sitting down, and starting my day with my Bible studies. It has made me feel a lot better this week. So this week I was in the book of Job, and the book of Job begins with a heavenly debate between God and Satan, and that's pretty much where Satan was like, you know, nobody really likes you, it was actually a debate where Satan came in when there was a meeting. They talk about it in Job chapter 1 verse 6, where it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.'" I just figure he's like a little pipsqueak kind of a thing. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing?' And he said, 'Have you—'" Okay, I guess I can't keep up my pipsqueak voice. "'Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased his land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." So pretty much from then on, if you've never read Job, you definitely should. In the book of Job, it tells where pretty much Job's life gets flipped upside down. And it's because Satan was telling the Lord, you know, Job only loves you because you've built a hedge around him. You've protected him. He's not had anything bad happen to him. I have not been able to have my way and destroy him like I can do other people. And they everybody else turns on you, because that seems to happen in real life, right? Anything bad that goes down in the world, everybody just wants to blame God. I mean, the non-knowers, people who don't really know God, they just want to blame God. Like, I don't even understand how the devil gets off the hook as much as he does. He seems to just get off the hook. Like, everybody just thinks that it's just, like, there's no devil, you know? And he likes that, because he's like, psh, nobody believes in me, and nobody thinks that I'm doing this naughty stuff, and they're blaming God, you know? That's great for him, because then he can just be a shyster and sneak around and do whatever he wants, and God gets blamed for it. I know personally, when I was in class, and, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but I might be a talker, and I may have gotten in trouble for talking in grade school, and I may have, you know, gotten in trouble, but sometimes, you know what, I wasn't talking, and sometimes I did get in trouble, and I did get blamed for things I did not do, so I know how that feels to get blamed for things you did not do. So in the Bible, that's where Satan's like, listen, your people only love you because you protect them. So Job, God knew that Job, his love for God was real, and that no matter how bad his life got, that Job would never, ever fall out of love with God. And so through the book of Job, you will read Job's everything bad happened to him. His family members got killed from, like, freak weather accidents that weren't freak. It was all devil constructed. And he got covered in boils, and his friends and family ignored him and stopped talking to him, and people on the street would shun him, and just everything that used to be good and beautiful was flipped upside down and was miserable. And he was just at his wit's end. We lose our mind. We get, like, really discouraged if we have, like, 8 bad things happen to us today. We stub our toe, we spill our hot beverage on our way out the door, our cat throws up a hairball and we walk in it. We open up a cupboard door and a cup falls out and smacks us in the head. By the end of that day, we're all ready to throw in the towel. So I think when you're reading the book of Job, you can be like, dude, Job, I feel so bad for you, man. I can't handle stubbing my toe. You have your entire life flipped upside down. So, but as the book of Job progresses, enter Job's friends. That's who I really want to focus on. I can talk smack about the enemy and, like, you know, all that stuff and how he gets off the hook and all that stuff, because I think we can all agree that, you know, God does get blamed for everything. But Job's friends come and visit him, and they were Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and I think, like, one of their kids. And when they come to visit him, they start out nice. They're, like, listening. They see their friend in turmoil, and they want to be there for him. And just, you know, when you're around your friends, you just want to just vent. You just want to dump it out. You just want to be like, you know. And Job is like, you know, listen, I didn't do anything to deserve this. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. And I've never done anything wrong. And their friends, they're listening, and they're listening to him, and they're listening to him. And then all of a sudden, they stop listening to him. They're like, you know what? Psst. We got something to say. So they start, I guess for lack of a better term, in our day and age, we would say victim shaming. You know, they start blaming him. They're like, dude, you did something to deserve this. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing all this. You did something to deserve this. God wouldn't just smite you. God wouldn't just come after you if you didn't do something to deserve this. So Job was like, no, I totally did not do anything to deserve this. So then, like, for a big chunk of Job, it is a back and forth. It is a ping pong conversation between Job and his feelings about being his world being flipped upside down. And not in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air way, not at all. This is a very drastic difference. But then continue and be like, no, God has a reason he's doing this to you. That's why, you know, and I've been around people like that. I've been around people who have told, you know, there's a bad storm coming to California. That's because God's mad at California. Or, oh, that person has cancer. That's because they did something bad in a past life. Nope, that's not how that is. God is not smiting you. God actually, he wasn't very happy with Job's friends. You know, towards the end of Job, you will read where God was like, you know what? Job was right. Job didn't do anything to deserve this. And I don't appreciate you blaming me for doing this either. You know, it's like a twofer. You know, like God's like, I didn't do it and he didn't do it. Like that there's a third party here. And so the thing that I want to pull away from this is let's look at the friends. First, let me take a drink of my sparkle water. Now let's look at the friends. The friends started out great. If anything, they didn't end so well. They ended up getting in trouble. And this was where Jesus came and died for our sins on the cross and washed away. He was the last sacrifice that he was our savior. He saved us. And now I'm going to get teary, so I'm going to stop right here. But so before Christ died for us on the cross, people did. I don't know if you read this, like Deuteronomy, it's like a whole thing. It was a very big sacrifice, blood sacrifices. And God was like, listen, guys, you have sinned and now you need to do this and you need to sacrifice this and you need to make this right. So he sent them off. Poof, go do this. You gotta right the wrongs. So he was not happy. He was not happy about how Job's friends did Job. So I think we could take away some lessons on that. I think they started out good. They came in and they were very supportive of their friend and they sat in silence and they listened. And you know what? I honestly think that we need that. When we're going through a hard time, we don't always want somebody rushing in and trying to fix it. Sometimes we just need to have someone there with us, listening to us, not even talking, just knowing that their presence, that they care and that they love you enough to come and just sit in silence and be with you, let you cry, let you vent, let you just get it out of their system without them having an agenda, not without them going, you playing the blame game, without them victim shaming. So I think as friends, we can learn from these friends that, you know, started off really good, but kind of got a little wonky towards the end. We need to go to our friends in need. We need to be quiet and allow their support and to allow our support. We need to nurture our friend. And we can even commiserate with our friend in silence. We can be there for them without having to try to fix the situation. Because a lot of times we can't. We want to find the right words, but sometimes it just comes up empty. And we should also not assume that trouble in our friend's life is a sure sign of God's judgment on them, because that's not fair. That's not our place. We can't speak for God, and we just need to be there for our friend. But we can encourage our friends in their time of need to continue to endure, to hold the faith, to be faithful, and knowing that God sees their pain and has a purpose for it. And in Romans 12:15, it even tells us to mourn with those who mourn. It is okay to just go and mourn and to console and to commiserate with your friends. Jesus came here for us to suffer in our place and to bear our pains. And in Matthew 25:40, it also states, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" So we really need to think about how we are treating our brothers and our sisters and make sure that we're being there for them in the way that they need us to be there for them. And it is okay not to know the perfect word to save the day. And I honestly struggle with that on social media. I can find a lot of words to say, but sometimes I freeze up because you don't want your words to seem disingenuous. You don't want them to seem robotic. You want to let the person know that your heart really is going out to them. But sometimes just texting it or typing it just doesn't do your feelings justice, but I still feel like it does something. Like, I might not know my friends on Twitter. I call my Twitter friends. I wouldn't know them personally, but I know and I see their struggles. And when they reach out and they share things on social media, I don't like to just scroll on by it. I don't find that that's very supportive, and I don't feel like that's being a friend. And I feel like if I ever were in their position, I wouldn't want somebody to just scroll by. Sometimes just a heart emoji to me is like a quiet presence, just knowing that that person doesn't have the right words to say something, but they wanted to say something. And actions do speak louder than words. So that's my extra loaf, everybody. And I hope that you enjoyed it. It's fresh out of my heart oven. And if you have anything you would like to add to the extra loaf, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Raina Plays. You can contact the show on Twitter at @A_CG Podcast. And you can email the show at achristiangamingpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, can do all that. So, and also you can find other ways to contact me at christiangamingpodcast.com. So thank you and God bless. I hope you have a great week, and you never know, I might pop another loaf out of the oven. Yeah, that's I didn't say bun, I said loaf. Okay, let's be real. All right, guys, bye.